Welcome to Stocks Not Sports, the podcast where we try to talk about investment ideas in the same casual way we talk about sports with our acquaintances, work colleagues, friends, and family members. This podcast is brought to you by Infor Financial Group, who is committed to providing innovative, forward-thinking financial advice to all of their clients and customers. I'm Kenrick Sylvester, Principal and Head of Distribution. I have to note the following disclaimer. This podcast is not to be taken as investment advice, and participants or employees of Infor Financial Group may own securities discussed in this podcast. While we love all of our guests, this podcast may contain forward-looking statements, investment opinions, and comments that we do not agree with at all.
Mr. Ponton, I believe you have a filter turned on in the video settings. You might want to
Can you hear me, Judge?
I can hear you. I think it's a filter.
It is, and I don't know how to remove it. I've got my assistant here. She's trying to, but I'm prepared to go forward with it. I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
I can see that.
With us today is Bill Wignall, President and CEO of Sangoma Technologies. Sangoma is a unified communications provider that offers a unified communications solution, or communications as a service, to small to mid-sized businesses, enterprises, and telecom entities. Unified communications may sound like a foreign concept to most of us, but in a work-from-home and a learn-from-home environment, we are all using it more and more every day. During these unprecedented times, instant messaging, audio and video conferencing, screen and data sharing have become very natural to all of us, from elementary school students to CEOs. And Sangoma is one of the companies that helps make it all happen. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kenrick. Awesome to be here.
Awesome. Really appreciate it, man. So instead of taking a few minutes to tell us about your background, we'd like to do a little speed dating questionnaire where we try to learn more about you in a few seconds. You good to go?
I'm not going on a date with you, just for the record.
I wouldn't be the first time I'd be not denied so early in the process. What high school did you attend?
Cedarbrae Collegiate in Scarborough.
Oh, Scarborough, all right. Post-secondary education.
My undergrad is computer engineering from U of T in Toronto, and my business studies were at Stanford in an executive program.
All right. Well, congrats, Stanford, on the national championship last night. Two nights ago, the women. Books or podcasts?
Books.
All right. Beer or wine?
Yes.
Perfect. We're gonna check both boxes on that one.
Okay.
All right. Meal kit or order in?
Neither. Pickup.
All right. Favorite device, phone, tablet, or smart TV remote?
Smart TV remote.
Okay. So what is the most antiquated or non-used tool in your office? A pen, a sticky note, or a calculator?
Yes.
Okay, we'll check all three of those.
Yeah.
Check all three of those as well. Video games or foosball?
Oh, foosball for sure. I stare at computer monitors all day long.
Ah, makes sense. Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn?
None. I don't use social media.
Okay. Music question. R&B, hip-hop, rock, pop, jazz, country, or classical?
Wow.
Told you we're getting deep.
I had to think for a minute. All of the above except country.
Okay. Do you have a favorite song?
Oh, I have tons of favorite songs. I wouldn't know how to pick one right now, Kenrick.
Okay. We're going to call you music lover. That's the box we're going to tick. Okay. Listen, so onto your career here, as best as I can tell here, you spent more than 20 years in technology and software, most recently as the president and CEO of Truition and the president and CEO of Electronics Workbench, where you had a successful exit through a sale to National Instruments. As a technology and software veteran, can you talk about your different roles, the different places you lived, and what first attracted you to the Sangoma opportunity?
Yeah, sure. Of course I can. My career has been extremely varied, from huge multinationals to startups and everything in between. I've done most every functional discipline, starting in engineering, writing software, designing hardware, architecting networks through product management, and then product marketing, and then sales and finance and manufacturing operations, and finally into general management. I worked and lived almost everywhere, you name it, and I've been there. The UK, France, Holland, Germany, Italy, Japan, Hong Kong, Sydney, Australia, Sao Paulo, Brazil, New Delhi, India. I lived lots of places all across the U.S., worked everywhere. Yeah, what attracted me to Sangoma? Well, to be honest, I was initially a little bit reluctant, you know, and when I first started talking to Sangoma, they had this business, which was a hardware product, single product line company. The business was a turnaround, right? It needed to be fixed. It was declining, single product company, all one times revenue, nothing recurring, all hardware, no software, little tiny company, 25 or 30 people, all in the Markham office where I'm calling you from today. And my biggest concern when I first started the conversation was, you know, I wanted to avoid a situation in which they wanted me to join a company in which the total addressable market that that product line served was, I don't know, $50 million around the globe. And it was shrinking. And I wasn't interested in a business in which you'd be trying to steal market share away from two or three competitors faster than the pie was shrinking. And I guess what eventually attracted me was the idea that we would take Sangoma for what it was and turn it into something entirely different over time.
Was there an aha moment that made you think this is definitely the right spot for you?
Well, I guess the aha moment was kind of when we all agreed that we would buy into a strategy in which we would completely reinvent and rebuild the company. I'm naturally attracted to really hard problems. I'm interested in those kinds of domains and disciplines. You know, I'm kind of a masochistic geek. You know, for fun, I would read about nuclear physics or molecular biology or quantum physics, quantum mechanics. And so what I thought would be a really interesting thing to do was try to turn Sangoma from a hardware company with one product operating only domestically, selling to little tiny companies with $10 million of revenue and $7 million of market cap, into, you know, what it's become now, right? A global company that's not hardware, it's all software and services, not one times revenue, but recurring, not customers here, but customers around the globe, not little customers, but bigger customers. You know, it's a really easy thing to say, of course, as I would talk to investors at that time, you know, they would say, that's a monumental Herculean task. And we didn't know if it was possible, frankly, but you can look back now with the benefit of hindsight and see that it was. So that was kind of the moment for me, I guess.
That's amazing. Congratulations on all you've accomplished so far, you and your team. Let's maybe take a little bit of a step back. Unified communications, for us, it's a pretty short phrase, but the concept's pretty complex, right? So, you know, for me, written on a piece of paper, the definition suggests that it integrates voice telephony with everything else on your desktop. So you can integrate calls, voicemail, texts, et cetera. But could you perhaps double-click on that phrase and let us know what unified communication simply means to you?
Sure, I can try. Although, you know, what you said is actually quite accurate. I guess the way I would say it differently is that, you know, UC is, you know, the gradual migration away from what used to be called telephony, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, right? And the idea was that there was this separate thing at work in an office environment that was totally distinct from and independent of everything else you did at your desk, right? So you picked up a phone and you made a phone call, and that went over an entirely different network and a different set of wires, and it connected to this gray box on the wall in a cupboard that no one went to except the IT guys. It was called the telecom closet. And it had nothing to do with everything else you did at work. It wasn't part of your local area network. It wasn't connected to your computing infrastructure. It was completely independent of anything you did with your computer. And that's how I think of UC. It changed all that. Right now, communications is just an app. It's an app like the CRM database you use at work to check on your customers, or an app like the productivity suite you use when you plug in your laptop to your monitor in the morning, whether it's, you know, G Suite or Office or whatever. And it integrates everything you do at work. Right now, voice is just another thing, like using a spreadsheet or a video meeting or a podcast. I don't know, what's an example or two? You're in a meeting in a boardroom somewhere and somebody's calling you, but it's kind of rude to take the call in the middle of a meeting And so with unified communications, you can control what you take with voice and what you take with video and what you do with data or text. And so you say, I can't answer that call, put it into voicemail and transcribe that voicemail into text so I can read it in the meeting and not be offensive. You're in your car driving and someone sends you an email, which you're not supposed to answer by typing on your phone while driving. And you say, give me that email as, I don't know, an audio file so I can listen to it through my car speakers, right? Or somebody's calling in and before you pick up the call, it does a dip into the CRM database and tells me, I'm a stockbroker and this is Bill Wignall calling. And the last time I spoke to him was back in, right, February. And he bought, 100,000 shares of Sangoma and it's gone up in price. So it's going to be a good call.
I would always take your call, by the way.
It's all one set of applications that work together elegantly.
I'm probably wading into the deep end of the pool here, but could you walk us through the mechanics of how your software simultaneously connects so many disparate pieces of equipment? And to borrow a phrase from Jeremy Irons in the movie Margin Call, please speak to me as you might to a young child or a golden retriever.
Okay. No, man, I can't answer that. It's all magic. I'm not supposed to. So here's the simplified answer in all seriousness. It's software, right? Full stop. You can do anything with software. You just decide what you're going to write the software to do. And, it can put a rocket into space and circle the Earth and land back down on the launch pad upside down safely nowadays, or can run a nuclear power plant, right? We just happen to write software that does what we've just talked about. It connects and performs all of these special purpose applications. We create software that does video meetings in the cloud, or we create software that allows a customer or partner to create their own apps using something called a CPaaS service. And we make sure these kinds of cloud-based communication services connect to all of these other things that someone uses at work. It's still writing software to do it. So that software then has hooks and APIs into, your CRM database, Salesforce.com or Sugar CRM or something. So, it really is magic. It is a very sophisticated, high IQ, creative company. But what you called the mechanics is software. That's how it works.
Excellent. That's a good breakdown. With Asterisk and Free PBX, Sangoma is the world's largest provider of open source communication software. What exactly, for our listeners, is open source, and why is that so important to your business?
So that's probably easier, right? Open source is just this class of software. It's not unique to communications at all. There is open source software for many different domains of software companies, in which the company gives away the software for free. It also happens to include the source code, but that's less important given what you just asked me about. Why is that important to Sangoma, or how do we use that to be important to our business, as you said? Well, it helps increase the awareness of Sangoma. It elevates our reputation in the industry. It provides us with a lot of users. It's a small part of our portfolio, so most of our software we do not give away for free, but those two we do. And then if you have a lot of users, you can work on different monetization approaches, right? We can say, you're using that piece of software. Would you like to upgrade it to a commercial version that you pay for? Or would you like to subscribe to support? Or would you like to add these other four cloud services? Or would you like to buy, your sophisticated soft phones or desk phones from us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Totally makes sense. Question, another thing that I've heard, for most people working from home, it would seem that the COVID-19 pandemic has boosted video conferencing and communication software, but there are several other macro drivers supporting your business. Do you want to talk a little bit about the overall migration to the cloud, overall worker mobility, and increased work productivity, a strong trend supporting Sangoma's growth?
Sure. Yeah, those are all true, of course. What I would choose to say about that is, while they're all true, the dirty little secret is that most customers care more about the benefits of cloud than they do cloud for cloud's sake. they're trying to get something that helps them operate their company that they can't get without cloud. So imagine you're a, you know, you're a mid-sized customer. You have 400 employees and you're a, I don't know, you're a florist or a courier or a manufacturing company. Those kinds of companies, they're actually not that interested in communications. They just know what it's supposed to do and they want it to work. But you want to focus on selling flowers or, you know, getting customers into your hotel or airline or. And the benefit of cloud to you is not that, you know, you have this philosophical predisposition that cloud is good. You have somebody who's advising you. It might be the people that run your tech department or IT department. It might be an outside company who's, you know, an integrator or expert advisor. What they're telling you about is, if you want to focus on building widgets or filling up your plane or selling flowers, do you really need this distraction of managing your own communication system? It's very sophisticated and it takes time and it's a distraction for you and you have to hire people in your department or inside your company to run and operate it. And someone has to make sure that the system that's on site is always up to date and running and doesn't have security exposures from failing to put in place the newest software patches. If you subscribe to our cloud service, all of that is done for you. That's part of what you get with your subscription. And generally, that's how I would say that although there are those macro drivers, you're right, it's not the most common thing for us to hear a customer talk about them. What they're trying to figure out is, given those drivers, which has made me aware of this thing called cloud, and that I can do it differently than I did when I bought my last communication system, you know, 8 years ago or 12 years, whatever it was, what do I get if I go to cloud? And that's what we would talk about with them.
Let's talk a little bit more about Sangoma as a growth company. So, I mean, you alluded to this already earlier in the podcast about your numbers. I just wanted to reiterate a couple of them, but since 2014, and you're well aware of this, I know, Sangoma has grown from less than $10 million in sales to over $130 million in revenues, which represents a six-year compound annual growth rate of around 50%. And during that same period, Sangoma has grown its earnings before interest, taxes, and depreciation from less than $1 million to over $21 million, which represents a CAGR of over 60%. So without forward-looking statements, of course, is there a runway for this type of growth to continue?
Yeah, sure. Of course, right? You know, the first thing I would say is you talked about $130 million in sales, which is all right, but we've just completed our most recent acquisition, so we're going to be around 250 now, not 130. So, you know, that gives you an example for part of my answer. The other part is that the business we're in of cloud communications wins or penetrates about 30% of new customer purchases these days. And it depends which analyst you listen to. Of course, some will say it's 30 and some will say it's 41 and some will say it's 27 and some will say it's 35. That's not my point. My point is about a third of new purchases these days of communications are in the cloud. The implication of that is that the other two thirds are not. Most of the entire runway is still in front of us. And that's of the new purchases, right? The installed base of customers that have systems operating is still much more than two-thirds of on-premise systems that will get upgraded to cloud over time. And thus far, all of those statistics I just threw out at you are for North America only. If we say one-third of new purchases in North America are cloud systems, you know, in Europe, that number is about half that. Again, it depends who you listen to, but maybe it's 10% and maybe it's 18% and maybe it's 15%, but it's nowhere near 30. So it's much more runway even left there when most of the runway in North America is still there. And if you go to Asia and Latin America, you know, what's 15% in Europe might be 5 or 10% in Asia and 5% in Latin America. There is a ton of growth left, which is partly why Sangoma has been aggressive with M&A activity to make sure we get into the upper echelon of the industry during, you know, a growth and consolidation phase.
Interesting. And I might as well fast forward to the $437 million U.S. acquisition of Star2Star Communications. Why, aside, and obviously you're going to see this big bump in revenues, why is that acquisition so transformational for your business? And can you give us some color how Star2Star fits into your current product offering?
Well, it's transformational for a bunch of reasons. You touched on one, which is product, but that's not the only one. You know, from our point of view, as we started talking together between the companies, the fit with product is really important, which I'll come back to in a minute, because that's more specifically what I guess you asked about. But it also applies to, you know, customers and what's the fit between the two customer bases and go-to-market strategy and how do the approaches of the two companies complement each other. The operating philosophy. You know, most companies in our market category are following the philosophy of growth at all costs, and we'll figure out whether we can ever be profitable, you know, down the road. Whereas Sangoma has taken this view of really good, solid, impressive interest and growth, but with profitability and cash flow. You talked about our EBITDA numbers in an earlier question. And when we were doing M&A conversations, it's hard to find companies who subscribe to that philosophy. But Star2Star was one. You know, they absolutely believe, like we did, that you can grow and grow well and be profitable. So that was an important fit. Culturally, the two companies were surprisingly similar, you know, which is really important in a tech company, right? That sounds like just a tagline or a few words thrown out for good measure. But, you know, all the value in tech businesses is the stuff that's in the head of our people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no fixed assets, right? Now, okay, you got some data centers, but, you know, this is not about how many miles of railway track do you own, or did you stake a claim on the right piece of land somewhere on earth to dig up more gold or diamonds, right? Or you know, how many factories do you own? And so cultural fit really, really does matter in tech acquisition. So sure, product fit was really important and making sure we have the broadest suite of products and services in our industry, which, you know, we both had an aligned plan for. Star2Star already knew they were going for a complete set of cloud native applications that would do everything in communications that their customers wanted. And that's where Sangoma was heading. We had a phrase for it, communications as a service. And neither of us was all the way there yet. And when you put the two companies together, we now have the full suite of cloud services that's so important. Star2Star had already begun moving upstream into midsize and enterprise. The go-to-market strategies that I talked about were complementary. We had one set of distribution channel types, and they had a slightly different set. And where we were strong, they were less strong. Where they were strong, we were less strong. So that's why it made sense. It wasn't purely about product, Kenrick.
Very complementary, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. So that's a great lead into communications as a service. So can we talk about that model? Why are recurring revenues so important, and how have you been able to grow that literally from essentially zero to almost 50% of your business so quickly?
You know, in the most recent quarters, we've been between 60 and 65, so well over 50. And with Star2Star, we'll be between 70 and 75. So that transformation is, if I think about what am I most proud of the team for, when I talk to industry analysts or research analysts, they'll say, wow, it's a $250 million revenue company, and it's generating all this EBITDA, and it's growing quickly. Like, that's really impressive. But what's really, really, really outstanding is that you got there from where you started. It was a very inauspicious beginning. And that's kind of how I feel about why this is so important. It's important because selling hardware is hard. And it's the reason hardware companies are not valued as highly. The margins are lower. You start from $0 each year. The beauty of a SaaS business is the compounding nature of revenue. You start January 1 each year with the revenue you ended December with. Then you add stuff on top of it. You know, what a big surprise. I'm preaching to the choir here that's why SaaS companies are more highly valued, right? And I have to say that is why we focused so intensely on recurring revenue, you know, to get away from low growth or no growth segments, move into high growth categories, and being very, very conscious about that strategy. Don't bang your head against the wall trying to steal market share from competitors in an industry segment which is uninteresting. Go find the ones that are interesting. You know, that's what makes it hard. It's interesting and fun to do that, but it is hard. You know, once you have the strategy and decide what you're trying to do, that then you have to be able to actually do it. And if you get the right strategy and you can execute, you can then accelerate, including your question about how did you get from 0 to 75% recurring revenue so quickly. You can accelerate by augmenting the organic growth with, you know, carefully picked but good acquisitions. That's also been a factor in getting us to where we are.
So let's talk about sitting down with a new customer. Given your model, why do customers select Sangoma versus other platforms, simply stated?
Well, I think the most important thing we would say when in a sales cycle with customers, and you know, we try hard to institutionalize this kind of thing and make sure our sales organization is armed with the right kinds of messages to help our customers and partners, that we would say most customers, you know, and of course, I'll acknowledge what I'm about to say is not true for the largest companies in the world, right? The Fortune 100 companies, if you're, I don't know, Siemens, hundreds of thousands of employees, Amazon, the U.S. federal government, you can afford both in money and time and people to do whatever you want. But for 95 or 98% of companies in the world, they don't want to buy five different cloud services from five different vendors, right? They don't want a video tool from Zoom and a CPaaS tool from Twilio and a collaboration tool from Slack and a voice tool from RingCentral. What we try to say to them is most normal companies want a single solution, nicely, elegantly integrated together, all as part of a single suite from a vendor and partner they can trust. They don't have to then go figure out how to integrate them all. We've already done that in our core suite. We're not finished that as part of the star-to-star merging together. We have some work to make sure that a product that started at star-to-star feels like it comes from a product that started at Sangoma, you know, and it's all part of one suite, but that's okay. We've done that many times, integrating many companies. Sangoma focuses on value. So we know we're not the cheapest company out there. I mean, we never will be. And, you know, that's not something we strive for. We want customers who are prepared to pay for value. And that means we're priced in the middle of the market. We're not the most expensive, but we're certainly not the cheapest. And it happens all the time, every month or quarter, that somebody in our sales organization, often in countries where, you know, their economies are different, right? You know, if you grow up in Chile and Brazil, price matters a lot. We know that if all the customer cares about is the cheapest product in the world, then that's not our customer. You know, and there are so many customers in the world in a growing space like this that the answer is not bend over backwards and cut your price by 80% to win that one customer. It's go get the next one. And then the third thing we talk about, if, you know, the full suite really matters to how we win, and how we position, you know, on value, not low price, matters. The third thing is we can meet almost any customer's needs as they think about how they want to consume communications. If they want the software from us to be installed in their office, you know, using the more traditional way, in our world that's called on-premise software, we'll sell them on-premise. If they want it in the cloud, we'll sell them cloud. If they want a combination of both, we want our corporate headquarters on-premise and our four satellite offices in the cloud. And we call that a hybrid deployment. We'll sell them hybrid. And that's not what most of our competitors do. Our competitors are either on-prem or cloud. Pick one. And Sangoma's view is we just want the customer. You know, because everybody's going to the cloud eventually.
Exactly.
Whether it's in 2021 or in 5 years or 10 years. And so if we have a customer relationship, you know, you got to do a good job. The technology has to work. The network has to stay up. When you send them a bill, it has to make sense. When they call for support, you have to be good at it. But we want customers independent of the deployment model so that we have the relationship and can migrate them over time.
Have you ever had a customer that was their needs were just so convoluted that it wasn't really feasible to create a bespoke solution? Has that ever happened to
you? Oh, yeah, for sure, right? And, you know, that's the thing about software businesses. They have to know whether they are the kind of company that creates a solution for each customer or the kind of company that has a product and sells a product. In fact, that was one of the big changes in Sangoma's history. Sangoma started as a company that was an engineering services company. And one of the key steps in the metamorphosis was realizing, you know, that's not a very scalable model. The scalability comes from having a product that you sell not just to customer one, but to number one, two, three, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000. We don't build bespoke solutions. You know, we are willing to customize things, and that's where the CPaaS product comes in and allows you to do that more cost effectively and efficiently. But if a customer says, we want a product you don't have, please build it for us, and it's going to take, you know, 21 engineers for a year, that's not our customer.
That makes sense. So this is a bit of a leading question, but Sangoma obviously boasts a very strong list of blue chip customers, including CAT, Kroger, Lockheed Martin, Ericsson, Avaya, BT. I mean, I can go on for a while here. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to drill down to a lesser known customer, given, you know, a lot that's been going on in healthcare IT here. So Martin Healthcare Group is focused on the delivery of inpatient care and staffing solutions for acute care and post-acute care hospitals. Their parent company is HNI, a customer of yours, and they have a focus on technology-enabled patient care. So how does UC have applications in digital care and healthcare IT, and how is that helping your business?
Sure, that's a very good question. You know, first of all, I think the starting point for my answer is Sangoma fits into all verticals, right? Almost every business in the world needs communications. Whether you talk with voice or by email or with text or with video meetings or in some combination, everyone needs the kinds of products that we offer. You know, I would argue now more than ever, and you're quite right. What are the words? I think you said digital health and healthcare IT, right? That's no different. You know, they're not exceptions. They need it too. In their world, the things they use it for are slightly different than the way other vertical markets use our product. But it's our responsibility as a good partner to them to make sure we understand how they might make use of our services. And so our sales team is supposed to be capable of talking Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. to a healthcare IT company and Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. to a hospitality company and Tuesday at 4 to a transportation business and be able to speak slightly differently in each of those worlds to pick up on the one that you mentioned. If I give you, I don't know, I'm thinking on the top of my head here, a couple of examples. Maybe we'll talk about patient-facing use cases and, you know, more back office or business operation use cases. So the patient-facing example would be, how do you as a medical clinic or a dentist's office see a customer these days? You know, whether it's because of COVID or because, you know, some patients are medically compromised or maybe they live remotely in some place that's not in the center of a big urban city, medical practitioners need to see patients now in ways that don't require the patient to come to their office. So what's the most common way of doing it? It's video meetings, right? And so Sangoma has this whole product. I talked earlier about a product called Sangoma Meet. But that's how a digital health or healthcare IT provider makes use of technology to improve the patient experience. You know, the 81-year-old grandmother doesn't have to drive to her doctor's office to have a checkup. That might still be required under some circumstances as a follow-up, but it starts with a meeting over, a video meeting service in the cloud. I said I would try and come up with an example for the back office or business operations. I don't know, you're a doctor or a hospital or a medical office, and you're trying to figure out how can I communicate better to my patients to both remind them of their appointments and to improve the efficiency in my office. So how did it work in the past? Some receptionist called every patient every morning as the first job of the day. But now there's a bunch of ways to make that better, right? You can integrate the technology from companies like Sangoma into your workflow in such a way that all the appointments in your calendar automatically trigger a text. The text gets sent out to all of your patients right away at 9:02. They all get a chance to reply. Yep, got it, still be there. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, I know that when we talked a week ago, I said I was available, but now I'm not. You know, you don't have to invade their privacy. You don't have to wake up someone if they're still sleeping or ill. And so depending upon the vertical industry, the things we would talk about to the customers are different. And there's a couple of examples for digital health or healthcare IT.
It's amazing. This question might be a little tongue-in-cheek, but the quote, "you're still on mute," is probably still the most often quoted phrase on video calls, even though we're more than a year through this COVID-19 situation. But despite the occasional video call fails, do you see an environment where we go back to the pre-pandemic way of doing things?
Yeah, well, in fact, your listeners don't know this, of course, but that's how we started this discussion, right? Like, yeah. You were there and I was there, but we weren't there together. Or like, where
Someone's
is it? Yeah, absolutely. That's what you get for not using Sangoma Meet, man.
nice.
No, you know, I actually don't think things are going back to the way they were. My guess, Kenrick, is, you know, my crystal ball is no better than the next guy's, but I would say video is here to stay, at least to some extent, right? Maybe not at the level of today, but more and more people have seen the benefit of being able to see the person you're speaking to. And it doesn't mean that every single time you want to talk, you need it to be video. But one of the things that makes services like Sangoma's elegant is you have control over that, right? You're not locked in. You can start in one and upgrade to the other. And so you begin with chat and decide you want to do a voice call. So I don't think it necessarily stays, it being, you know, video calling at the level it's at today. Most people are going to return back to work to their office environment at some stage. But I don't think it's going back, how did you say it, the pre-pandemic way. You know, our view is we're investing heavily in video. We believe video is part of the future set of cloud services. I just don't think it's the only thing. What we believe in is this full suite, and we want to make sure customers can, you know, you don't even have to pick up your desk phone anymore. You can make a phone call from our soft phone app on your desktop or on your mobile device. You can use that mobile device to walk around your office. You no longer have to have those white swipe cards to open doors. You know, we have a little app that goes on your mobile device and opens the doors for you. We know which areas of the office you're supposed to have access to. You can start a call one way and change it to another way. So I don't think it's going back, but I don't think it stays exactly the way it is today with so many people working from home.
I hear you. One point of clarification, we do use Sangoma Meet at our office.
Good so man.
I'll put that out there. Let's talk about the question I like to ask in terms of career adversity. What was your get them off the field moment? You know, the moment you've made a big mistake and everyone wants you to shoulder the blame. What was your moment and how did you recover?
Get him off the field moment. Never heard that before, Kenry.
I'm trying to be unique.
Here. Yeah. Good on you, man. Well, here's one I remember very early in my career. I started off like so many Canadian engineers do way back when working at Nortel. And early in my career, you know, you're moving up and getting promotions and trying new jobs and in new places. I was a young guy and very much a perfectionist at the time. And, you know, unfortunately for me at this story, large customer opportunities in that world were almost always awarded through these ideas of, you know, it's a formal bid or an RFP, a request for proposal, an RFQ, request for quote. You know, it's big teams of people preparing very large documents with all of the complex technology explained and the price, and it's tens of millions of dollars, of course. And I remember, you know, leading a team that was submitting one of these, and it was probably 99% good a week before it was due. And being the young 20-something perfectionist, 99% wasn't good enough for me. And we kept working on it and kept working on it. And I kept pushing the team to be better. Let's get from 99 to 99.5 and 99.9. And it was a really, really good document. Unfortunately, I pushed too far and too long. And by the time we finished it and submitted it, we missed the deadline. You know, a document that was by then 99.9% perfect was too late and unaccepted. And I was told in no uncertain terms that 99% was the right answer. What the hell is wrong with you? Yeah, I remember that quite distinctly. So I'm not sure anyone said get him off the field, but that is my example for you.
That's great. I appreciate that. Listen, Bill, thank you so much. Ultimately, what I've learned today is that unified communication is a necessity for how people conduct business in a post-COVID world. While all businesses need UC, they don't really want to worry about it and would prefer to go to one place for a complete solution. Also, there's still a very big runway of growth ahead as more and more businesses migrate to the cloud. Is there anything else that you would add as a public company, and how should people think about Sangoma?
No, I don't think I have anything specific to add. You've asked very good questions, Kendrick. You know, I think we've touched on the most important attributes from an investor's point of view. It's you know, a very good growth company. You talked about, you know, the rate of growth. You get that growth with profitability and cash flow. You can tap into a business that's growing both organically and, you know, is good at M&A. That's quite interesting. We have excellent products and technology. We're participating in an industry that's, you know, exciting with high growth and a long runway. I think the team has proven that it's capable of doing really hard things, which bodes well for, you know, its abilities in the future. And, you know, it's dramatically undervalued compared to our peers. So it seems like a good investment from my perspective.
Awesome. We would wholeheartedly agree with that statement. Wholeheartedly.
Yeah, thanks.
So final question. If you could own and run a sports organization, which one would it be and why?
Oh, I get to own a sports organization.
Well, you've been successful in everything else, so let's go.
Yeah, why not? I guess most people would cite, you know, the obvious things, right? The Leafs or the Raps or the Jays or, you know, I joke with you, your favorite NFL team. If I was trying to be a little bit unique here, I would say maybe I'd like to own the Toronto Rock lacrosse team.
Interesting.
Yeah, I liked lacrosse as a kid. I was a sports junkie as a boy and young man and played lots of sports through college. My college nickname was Three Sports in One Day Wignall. So I'd have a
really?
You know, a hockey game followed by a football game, followed by a lacrosse game, followed by a rugby game. And it just feels like, I don't know, lacrosse is this very, very underappreciated. It's amazingly good sport. It underpays. It's underfollowed. We even have an institutional investor, by the way, Don Vilkent, that has a portfolio manager there who played lacrosse at college like I did and plays for the Rock. So there's a little bit of a funny anecdote that's probably different than most of the answers you get to that question, I guess.
Right, right. And I want to give a special shout out to Jesse Gamble at Don Vilkent, former, and he might even be still a current lacrosse player. Back in a past life, I did do a lot of work on lacrosse, believe it or not.
And really?
Yeah. It was for a sports equipment manufacturer that's, you know, stepping on a bit of a rake buying a baseball business, but that's for another story. But yeah, we do know, like, Paul Rabil was the first million-dollar man in lacrosse. And
yeah.
Looking at scholarships in the U.S., it's the fastest growing sport down there.
Yeah. If you're in the Northeast, many of the Ivy League schools are, of course, and lacrosse is a big deal, right? You pay attention if you're watching pop culture movies, and it's very common to see a dorm room with some guy with his lacrosse gloves and helmet and stick on the wall. Although, you know, here it's very much a young boys sport still, box lacrosse, not field lacrosse. And yeah, it'd be fun to buy that kind of a team, because I just feel like Sangoma had, you know, it's undervalued, underappreciated, and you know, someone should be able to turn that entire league into something that's much bigger and worth a lot more. So,
yeah, that's the salary cap's only $400,000. So, I mean, like you said, if you're used to seeing MLB and the NBA and the NFL, I mean, these numbers seem quite manageable. And I mean, the average salary is around $20,000 for an NFL.
Yeah, so they all have day jobs, right? It's a little bit like the CFL, but, you know, arguably, quote, even worse. You're a fireman or a portfolio manager or. You know, and it's your passion and you do it. And my point there was that, you know, I happen to like that sport and I feel like it's underfollowed, underappreciated. And I don't know, it just seemed to have a little bit of an analogy to the original Sangoma story.
I think that's a great analogy, actually. And you know what? Like Sangoma, the Toronto Rocks won 6 championships. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe I should stop pumping your tires, but anyway. No, that's, I
don't
do
stop.
That is great. That is unique. Listen, I really, really appreciate you for being on our podcast. We're very excited for you in the future, Sangoma. We We want to wish you continued success and best of luck with your business. Thanks for spending your time.
I enjoyed the chat. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed the podcast, check your app now to make sure that you've subscribed so that you don't miss an episode. I'm Kendrick Sylvester, and I'll see you next time. Problems and personal issues, stories that make your eyes tear and wet tissue. It's true, I'm mad like the rapper. I'm so upset I gotta put it up in my rap before I snap or after. The things I've seen from Atlanta to Queens to the mean streets of Brooklyn when I was a teen. Back and forth to the islands, screamed when I left, but adapted. And still my dreams haven't left. I only hung with the crack kids, weaned out the rest. Me and the roughest roughnecks went chest to chest. Now my best friend's locked up north, I won't rest till I let him live his dream through me. And I confess that even though both our hearts was dark, his was darker.